So before we start on the final meditation talk, I thought I'd just clear up some questions that were left over from last night. Okay. Just a comment. Dear Ajahn, comment. I see what you mean about us not having control over parts of a body. Your hair has grown back already. That's right. Okay, more fan letters. Dear Ajahn, here are some feedback on the retreat. Grade 1 to 10. Uh-oh, no grading, no judging, remember? Meet course outline. 10. I don't know, we don't have a course outline, so how can you meet it? Venue and facility, 10. That's true, very nice. Very nice facility, and certainly very well run. So much appreciation to the organizers and the volunteers, and certainly the wonderful donors who brought the food every day. So that was a bit big chores. Yeah, so thank you for that. I am a first-time 9-day retreatant. Learned a lot about meditation and that I need to practice every day. It's been a relaxing week, letting go of things. We've tried to put more into practice after leaving here. Thank you for the retreat. There you go. Yes, so I do. And we'll go more into that, how to kind of transition from the 9-day retreat to kind of everyday life practice, which is not always so peaceful. Yeah. We're going to talk about that later on. Dear Ajahn, in a living relationship, where does impermanence play a part? Plays a part every day. You know, how you feel about this person, how you interact, is always very different. So trying to keep that in mind that you don't know. You might think you know this person, you might think you know their reactions, but a lot of times they may surprise you. They may change in ways that you don't know. Yeah. Your feelings for this person, if you're mindful and you watch carefully, that changes every day. You know, it goes up and down. Some days things are really good. Other days, not so good. Yeah, it's all part of kind of the interplay of nature, of ups and down, happiness and suffering, praise and blame, gain and loss. Yeah, so all that is just the interplay of the worldly conditions of things. You can't have one without the other. Yeah, you can't have the happiness only. That's only in the movies, remember. Right? This is real life. It's like day and night, one or the other. Yeah, you can't have one or the other. You have to have both. That's part of just, being a human. That's part of the existential human conditions that we're born into. Yeah. And the more we kind of understand that, the more we work with it and learn from it, then you'll find the happier we'll become, the more peaceful we'll become. And then kindness and gentleness will flow naturally, not as an idea, but as an experience. Yeah, and that's a wonderful thing to experience. Questions or comments? Dear Ajahn, are the relics of the cremated body the result of the person's achieving enlightenment? Yes and no. Yes, but generally they cremate, bodies of monk or spiritual teachers when they die. And sometimes these things, a lot of times you just get ashes. But sometimes some of it's crystallized. I asked a meditation master, what does it mean? There's some crystals remaining from the burnt body. And they say usually it's the result of not just enlightenment or only enlightenment, but also how clear their mind is. So strong samadhi will leave something behind. Yeah, in terms of crystallized or kind of sparkly, shiny looking things. Yeah. So, but sometimes, in Thailand or, kind of Buddhist country, it's a big kind of hoopla around it. So there are some kind of faith things that sometimes they burn the monks with the glass coffin, and then of course those are left behind. Oh, look at all this stuff left behind. You must be a wonderful monk. Yeah, so you can always take what it is. But generally also you can also, you know, this is where faith comes in. If you have a faith, you know, it's whatever's left behind is just a memory, a reminder of the life that this person led and left behind. So all the good things he's done or she has done, it's a nun that left behind. So just a reminder when you have these in your shrine, when you bow to them, you're not bowing to, you know, a piece of charcoal or a piece of plastic. You're not bowing to, you know, concrete or a bit of paint over there. You're bowing to the qualities of what these people represent, right? And that's the important bit. And when you're bowing to something, you're bowing to something that's bigger than you are, higher than you are, something you want to aspire to, yeah? And these are the qualities of compassion, of wisdom, clarity, yeah, of kindness. So every time you bow to that, you're thinking about those qualities, and those qualities will grow over time in yourself. So you're also bowing to your own potential to become a Buddha, your own potential to become enlightened. Yeah. So that's what we're bowing to, these things. That's why they have relics or symbols of these things on the shrine. Yeah. They represent the best of what we can aspire to. Dear Ajahn, sometimes I find it difficult to feel the breath. Should I just do body awareness or walking meditation when this happens? So my approach to kind of teaching breath meditation is, yeah, it's not an exercise in willpower. It's not an exercise in how to focus firmly, but it's an exercise in allowing the breath to come to you. So if you can't feel the breath, you know, it starts with the body. Usually the body is more things happening in terms of body sensations. You know, the throbbing, tingling sensation, the tightness around the shoulders. So start with that, just relaxing the body first. And once the body is settled, the breath will come up naturally, or the breathing process will come up naturally. The rise and the fall in your chest, the feel of the wind, the air going through your nostril, rise and fall of the abdomen. Yeah, different things will come up that will clue you to the breathing process of the in-breath and the out-breath. So I tell people just to wait. It's not going out there and grabbing the breath and pulling it in. It's allowing the breath to come to you. And when that happens, it takes longer. But when that happens, then it's easier to follow the breath because then the mind is calm enough to see it. You kind of launch right into watching the breath. And you can, you know, most of us have this experience. You can watch for a couple of breaths, then mind shoots up to something else, to the thinking, the emotions that we feel the days before, the reviewing the previous day's events or whatever. Yeah, it means the mind is not ready to watch the breath just yet. So just kind of start with the body, calming that down. That will help you to stay in the present moment, which is where the breath is always is. In the present moment, yeah. So allow the breath to come to you, and not to force it. If it's not ready, you're too restless, then yeah, do a bit of walking meditation, body awareness, do some contemplation, body contemplation, death contemplation, contemplation of impermanence, not self. You know, these things, whatever it is in your mind that's moving you about, not me, not mine, not a self. You know, they're not. You know, they come and they stay and they go away. Yeah, just your being, just to watch, not to get too involved, not to do too much. And you'll find that the mind will settle down naturally, but in its own time, not when it's convenient for you, not when you want it to settle down, but when it's ready to settle down, it will settle down. Yeah, so that's kind of my approach to meditation. But with anything, this is just one perspective. Some people do find that, you know, they use more force. It's they can find, you know, they be with the breath. But that usually creates tension. Yeah, so just be aware of that. But try the short, quick path of kind of forcing your willpower on it. We achieve some result, but that's usually very limited. And it's hard to sustain this kind of firm focus for a long, long time. And remember, you know, so many of us here have so many things to do in life already. Full of responsibility, fair amount of stress. So the last thing you want to do is, you know, for meditation to be another thing that you have to do to get right, right? So whatever, however far you've gotten this last 9 days, how far you think you haven't got to, remember, this is just good enough. Remember, I remind you, it's the first day. You're not here to do anything, to go anywhere, right? So hopefully you haven't tried to do anything, to go anywhere, to get your jhanas or your enlightenment experience that you can tell Ajahn Brahm about. It's just being here. Hopefully you caught up on your sleep. Hopefully you rested. Hopefully you appreciate the beautiful surrounding and the beautiful company of the other people around us. Yeah. And then if you've done that, then that's a wonderful retreat. The lights and the bliss, you know, that's kind of interesting. But not essential, really. Because even if you had this wonderful whiz-bang experience, the craving that comes around it, you know, will bring in its wake much stress and tension the next time you try to sit down and try to replicate the same experience. Yeah? So peace and stillness comes through just gratitude and contentment. And not moving, not wanting, not craving. Yeah? So you want peace? Yeah. You have to make peace. You have to be at peace. Right? Sometimes we call human being, but we're not. We're human doing. We're constantly doing things, planning, managing, wanting, controlling. And that's why we feel stressed out. So you want to feel happier? Lower the expectations. Keep saying to yourself, good enough. Whatever it is good enough. Your relationship's not everlasting happiness. It's good enough. You know, the wonderful person that you married and hasn't turned out to be so wonderful, that's okay. That's good enough. And it's good enough, you work with it. You work with what you have, your body and your mind. And it's the same acceptance, same level of kindness that you bring to yourself that you can bring to others. So you can't accept yourself, and it's also difficult to accept others. And vice versa. You don't accept others as the way they are. It's very difficult to accept yourself. So knowing that, you want to be happy, you want to be comfortable in your own skin. This is where the practice of, you know, of peace, acceptance, forgiveness, letting go comes into play. And remember, the same skill that we need to bring into focus with meditation are the same skills that we will need, that will be used to be helpful to live as human beings, to live as a member of the human race, to live in a productive and beneficial ways for ourselves and others in the world. Qualities of, you know, being at peace, quality of gentleness, patience of waiting, not rushing ahead, not wanting things, not creating a sense of self out of whatever we do, whatever success that we have. We understand that this condition, you know, from one perspective might be you're doing, you're working hard to achieve your success. But, you know, think clearly. You know, you came here, you didn't come here by yourself. You didn't come on this earth by yourself. You obviously needed your parents. You didn't grow up by yourself. Lots of people help to look after you when you're growing up, feed you, clothe you. Even here, when we look like we're practicing, focusing on our breath only, but that's only with the support of many hundreds of people come together in terms of, you know, building this building, the funding, the food that comes, the cleaning before and after. Yeah. So well, all that is part of all our conditioning that come together to create a wholesome environment for us to practice. So while it does appear that, you know, kind of we're putting forth effort, you know, like there's so much more conditioning outside of that. Yeah, to understanding that, you know, that you are not the only one in the middle. You might think the universe spins around you, but really, we're just part of a bigger machinery, bigger system. But it's beautiful, it's wholesome. Everybody's coming together, creating wholesome conditions for other people to come and practice and helping each other along the way. So just thinking of yourself as, you know, your body and your mind, just part of a wholesome conditioning. Whatever rising, you start to learn, work with it, flow along, and not kind of have a WD-40 mind, right? Things that flow and glides around, not make too much noise when you open the doors, not too much, you know, complaining, fault finding, because you know that, yeah, you know, things are never perfect. We accept that. But by learning to accept things, you can work and make a better place. You can work to make creating wholesome qualities in your mind, wholesome qualities in the world around us. And this kind of goes to, okay, it's been, you know, a nice nine-day retreat. You know, well, you know, some of you have deeper meditation, others, you know, still experience a measure of peace and stillness in the mind. Some people really, really happy to be here and peaceful. And then, you know, the common question I get is, how do I carry this back to my busy lifestyle? You know, my three teenage sons running around, got a stressful work situation, different, you know, yeah, kind of responsibility that you have to fulfill. And one is just managing expectation. That you don't expect to have the same type of deep meditation you would in a nine-day retreat. But still, I think you have to kind of, just the main thing is, that's why I encourage people to, at the end of each meditation, to reflect on how that feel. So when you have a peaceful meditation, linger on, stay there, remember it. And then when you go home, you bring those same thoughts up about your peaceful meditation. So that helps you bring you to the, back to the same place. It's like an imprint in the mind. You know how it is when you have a nice holiday, lying in the sun, looking at the beautiful blue waters, nothing to do, and it's a relaxing holiday. And then when you go back to your busy office, your busy home, you remember, it's like, oh, that was really nice. And you feel, the same feeling comes up again. Yeah. So with meditation, it's the same thing. Every time you have a peaceful meditation, just don't jump up and run off and do other things. Just kind of linger a little bit. A few minutes, just to taste it. To know the true taste of peace in the mind. What does that feel like when you open your eyes and it's just an amazing sense of well-being pervading your whole body and your whole mind. Sense of deep contentment that you don't have to change anything in the world. You have to change yourself, you have to change your partners, your kids. Things are just right the way they are. Not perfect, but it's okay. Perfection. Yeah, once you learn meditation and practice, perfection doesn't come from outside. Perfection comes through how we relate to the world. And that's why this good enough mind is such a powerful practice. With a good enough mind, things, you stay with it, abide in it. Things are more than good enough. Things are wonderful. Things are perfect. If you have a good enough mind. When you have an improving mind, quote unquote, I always want to improve things. This retreat is really good, but you know, I think the air conditioner should be a bit cooler in the afternoon, Bianca. Or whatever, you know, things are just never right if you're looking to improve things, right? And that's the nature of the world. So knowing that, we always look for, yeah, this is good enough. There's a few flights, but it's okay, it's not too bad. Yeah. There's, you know, whatever, different things happening. You can have the meal a bit earlier, later, that's okay, but it's good enough. And you'll find that, yeah, you can be at peace. You can make peace. Anywhere, anytime. It's mostly an internal thing that we focus on. It's mostly in how we relate to ourselves and to the world around us. That's where peace is. It's not something out there. It's not something, you know, innately inside. It's the space between. It's how you react to things. Yeah, because we can't control the world, but we can look closely into how we react to different things that come up in the mind, coming up in our way of relating social situation, things that come up during work. Am I just making peace? Am I learning from my mistakes and growing, or am I holding on to things? Yeah. And of course, learning, making mistakes, it's all part of the path. So, you know, do not also kind of be careful how holding yourself too high of a standard. You know, always be kind and gentle. I should never say mean things. I always should have kind thoughts and loving thoughts about everybody and everything around me. It's a nice idea, but it doesn't always happen, right? So also accept that as well, that aspect of yourself, the darker, the shadow side, as they saw in these days in psychology. We all have that shadow that we may rather not look at, rather not deal with. But it's part of also being a whole person. We're not just cutting ourselves in half and just take the good bits and leave the other one in the closet or in the basement somewhere. Right? You want to bring all that into the light. Bring all that into your awareness. And then this is where the still mind, this is where the peaceful mind comes into play, to be able to accept and embrace the whole human condition. To accept, to embrace your whole entire self. All your mistakes, all the terrible things that you might have done in the past. It's all okay. It's all part of conditioning, bringing yourself to be here, to be in it. So if you want to carry some of that peace back, try to remember all the peace of meditation, but also not expecting the same level of peace that will be transferred when you get home. But a few helpful tips would be try to maintain a daily practice of some sort. And it doesn't have to be half an hour, morning or night. It could be just a few minutes to a few breaths, really. Three breaths. One for peace, one for compassion, and one for wisdom. Just three deep breaths every few, a few times during the day. You can manage more, just sit with the eyes closed, and just watch to relax the body for a few minutes. A lot of time, like I said, people these days sit in front of the computers a lot, and that's moving the mind around a lot more than we used to. So then, obviously, when you get home and end of the day, it feels very tired and depleted. And then that's where the grumpiness and the irritation comes up. Yeah. So knowing that, seeing the condition of the mind, you don't blame yourself. You don't blame the conditions around. And learn how to take care of a mind. Yeah, just kind of keeping the peace, recharging it when you get a chance. And you'll find that, this peace and kindness, the openness, spaciousness will grow over time. But it takes work. It doesn't come by itself. Right? The only thing that you get for free is the five hindrances. Lots of greed and irritation, and it comes for free. Lots of confusion and doubt. Right? Lots of sloth and torpor. They come free of charge. But the other good bits, you got to work for it. But it's doable, it's achievable. And that's the thing, nice things about, meeting people in a group. You can see that, people, some people are very good meditators and they have a life full of responsibility. And that's wonderful to aspire to. Yeah, so try to belong to a group of meditation also gives some support as well. Just once a week or once a month, just get together, sit and meditate, listen to a talk or listen to a guided meditation, so that gives you the same kind of momentum to continue. Because when you leave this place, you enter back into your life. Some are very kind of lucky and have very, kind of good friends who are practitioners, so they'll help you along. But most people, from my interviews, have a very different situation when they go back home. Yeah, and people leaning towards the opposite direction of going out to the world, the holidays and the parties and the shopping. It's Christmas, Christmas shopping. So very, very busy at the time when you go back. Yeah, so be ready. This is not the retreat center you're entering to. This is the real world. But is it real? What is more real, the peace here or the confusion out there? Depends on what you make of it. You think this is a nice holiday, but I'm going back to the real world, and you leave all your peace behind, then yeah, sure. Then the world of confusion and the shopping malls will be your world. You leave your peace behind. But you can say, no, I'm bringing some of that back. Yeah. The peace is more real, no less real than the confusion outside. Yeah, it's what you focus on. So as we move back, try to come to Friday night Dhammaloka. You live near Nolamara. Saturday afternoons, that's always good. If not, then yeah, kind of set up a regular routine of meditation in the morning, at night, quiet place. And if you are busy working in the office, kind of in position, responsibility, with lots of appointments, then try to write down your meditation time as an appointment. 2 to 2:30, I have an appointment already. I can't miss that. And then you can sit quietly. If you don't schedule that down, then yeah, there will be things that fill up your whole day. And before you know it, you're back, feeling annoyed, irritated, depleted, burnt out. And you wonder, why am I here again? Why am I back to this place again? Yeah, so it just takes a bit of planning, a bit of kind of juggling, but it's worth it. You'll see as you grow older, you know, you don't get more energy in the body. You don't get more energy in the mind. It goes in the opposite direction. But we can, you know, age gracefully. We can, you know, with a bright mind, you can adapt, you can adjust, you can change, and you can live a really wonderful life. Even as the body starts to break apart, even things which begin to experience sickness, separation from your loved ones, different things that life will bring to you naturally from time to time. And that's where the training comes into focus. That's where you receive the benefit, the fruits of the training. It's when these life's challenges come at you. When we don't get what we want, we experience, you know, sickness in our own body, our family. Yeah. How do we cope? Yeah. So there's a few words in terms of kind of how to transition from a 9-day retreat to back to your work life or your family life that may not be so peaceful. Any questions or comments? Right.
So they haven't had this luxury of this quiet. I just told them, mind and compassion, that they're not going to be at peace.
But also sharing all the kind of goodness, the good energy that you have also, yeah, with your, yeah, it's true, your friends and co-workers who are picking up the slack when you're away. Yeah, sure. Yes, Ananda.
Ajahn, you mentioned the Nolamara meditation. Uh-huh. There is also a Dharmadale hospital by the Buddhist Society. It's organized on Tuesdays? 7 o'clock.
That's right. Ananda was saying that on Tuesday nights in Armadale Hospital, there's also a meditation group from 7 to 9.
7 to
8:30.
8:30. It's not 7 to 8:30. So
that's why it's very popular now. When I was here 8 years ago, it was full, but not completely, you know, overcrowded. Now I hear that, yeah, it's just building up momentum and it's very, very crowded. So get there early to get your parking and your space, because they do close it once they reach, you know, fire hazard and all that stuff. Yeah.
So also that for newcomers, that great book about the great disciples of the Buddha.
That's what you want. Look into, read into, the, inspire yourself about the Buddha and what his disciples, the practice and the life they lead were like. There was a book that came out, translated into English, Great Disciples of the Buddha. I think it's also available at the BSW Library, and you can also purchase a copy at the bookshop, I think. Yeah, yeah, and those are really nice. I read that, try to reread it once a year just to kind of reflect.
It's called Great
Disciples of the Buddha. So, you know, kind of going to the details of the great monks and nuns that were around the Buddha's time. I was talking yesterday with Sariputta, Mahamoggallana, you have Bhikkhuni Kama, and a few other ones. Yeah, that's very nice.
You feel like you are living among them.
And it makes more real, because, you know, this Buddha, what's he like? And, you know, was he a real figure, or is, you know, it's kind of a myth? Yeah. So it fills in more of the blanks, the how he grew up, you know, his wife, his kid, what they were like. Yeah, so a lot of kind of amusing anecdotes as well around the time of the Buddha, but what his life was like, yeah. And yes, and also just kind of mentioned earlier, a lot of gratitude and appreciation to the organizer of the retreat, Burr, and also Bianca's not here, so we mentioned, and Bianca, who did a lot of work and, like I said, very very devoted. I think it's at least 25, 30 years Bianca's been organizing retreats for the BSWA every year. She was a teacher before, and instead of taking her two-week holidays, Bianca goes and volunteers her 2 weeks holiday as a teacher every year, a couple of times a year, to organize the 9-day retreat. Yeah, so much appreciation and gratitude to Bianca for all the years and years of service, actually. Yeah. Okay. Is there one more question? We get ready to do a final guided metta meditation. Yeah. Maybe you want to stretch for a few minutes, or get up, stretch for a few minutes. So before we start on our final guided metta meditation, we should spend the next few minutes just to settle the body. Just sweeping through from the top of your head down to the floor, relaxing, soothing different areas in your body. Relaxing all the muscles in your face. Going down to the shoulders and your arms. Going down to your stomach and your hip areas. Just feeling your body resting on the cushion, feeling the pressure on the cushion or the chair. Noticing the exact contact point between your body and the cushion or the chair. Make any final adjustments before we turn attention to the mind. During this meditation, try to visualize a golden light in the center of your chest. This golden light has the power to heal, to soothe, to cleanse all that it can come into contact with. So begin to say to yourself, may I be well, may I be happy. Visualizing this golden light, you start to expand throughout your body, soothing, healing all the different body parts that you can come into contact with. May my body be healthy, full of energy. Free from disease and sickness. May I be free from anxieties and worries. May I experience much peace and contentment in my life. So you visualize this golden light to expand, to cover your whole body, and then you visualize this whole room with another, every single retreatant with their own golden light surrounding the body. May all the people in this room be well and happy. Be free from anxieties and worries, free from sickness, free from loneliness and despair. You visualize all the different faces with smiles on their faces. Smiles of deep peace and contentment. And each of those golden lights begin to expand to fill this whole room. And all the 50 golden lines begin to merge as one, becoming brighter, stronger. Starts to expand and fill this whole room. Starts to move upwards to fill the whole grounds of the retreat. Soothing, healing, bringing peace and happiness to all the creatures that comes across it. So may all beings in Jhana Grove be well and happy. The kangaroos, the birds, the insects, the flies. May they be free from dangers and worries. Free from cold and heat. May they experience a sense of well-being just through the power of our combined well-wishing, the power of a wholesome mind. Golden light gets bigger, starts to spread all throughout Serpentine, healing, soothing, relaxing, all that it touches, spreading through Perth, all the way through Western Australia. May all beings be well and happy. The sick in the hospitals, the lonely on the streets. May all beings be well and happy, free from anxieties and worry. May their loneliness be dispelled in this very instant. just through the power of our well-wishing, the power of our pure mind. Visualize this golden light spreading eastward through all the different states, South Australia, Victoria, North Territories, all the way down to the east coast of New South Wales. May all beings in Australia be well and happy. The sick and the dying. The animals, the unseen beings. Golden light, and continue to expand, being more powerful, even brighter, more sublime, spreading across the oceans, encompassing, going north to Asia, south to New Zealand, west and east, encompassing the entire globe. May all beings be well and happy. May they experience a moment of peace, a moment of feeling of safety, free from hunger and worries, free from anxieties. People in the war-torn countries experience a moment of peace and well-being just through our intention to spread this wholesome energy that we collectively developed over the last 9 days. The soldiers on both sides experience peace and clarity, compassion and goodwill. Golden light starts to penetrate deep down into the oceans of great depth, healing, soothing, blessing all the creatures that it comes across to the dark regions of the oceans. Also starts to spread upwards to the skies, all the airborne creatures, all the invisible beings, all the beings in the different realm and dimension. May all beings be well and happy. May the devas, the heavenly beings, experience even greater bliss than they have. May their lifespan even be longer. May they reap all the goodness that they've developed in the past. May the beings in the ghost realm, the hell realm, may they also be free from suffering, free from worries. At least for a few moments, just through the power of a well-wishing. Life starts to spread through the entire cosmos, through the different planets, throughout space, to dark regions that even light has not penetrated. We all creatures experience a sense of well-being, peace and harmony. Through the combined power of a well-wishing, through the combined power of a metta, for the next few minutes, you can bring to mind all the faces of your loved ones. And you can wish them a sense of well-being, a sense of peace, all the good things that you want them to have. begin to visualize this golden light beginning to contract back from the outer reaches of the universe, moving towards our solar system, leaving traces of peace and stillness, compassion and goodwill. Light continue to contract, to move gently, slowly towards the planet Earth. Leaving brightness, goodness, leaving peace and contentment along the way. It starts to shrink further. It starts to move down towards land, move from the skies up from the deep areas of the oceans, starts to shrink from the North Pole, the South Pole, moving ever slowly towards the continent of Australia. Leaving behind peace and contentment, goodwill and charity. Shrinks further from the East Coast, New South Wales, from the North, Northern Territories to Southern Australia. Shrinking, moving towards Western Australia. Let's begin to shrink further, moving towards down to Perth. Up from the southern areas. Moving from Perth to Serpentine. From Serpentine. Moving, shrinking from Bodhinyana Monastery ever further to Jhana Grove. Leaving goodness behind. Leaving peace and harmony in its path. Golden light starts to settle right on top of this meditation hall. Still beaming much goodness to all the people in this room. All the peace, tranquility, kindness and gentleness. It starts to break apart and settle into 50 pieces in each and every one of us. Light starts to enter back into our chest. Starts to shrink further deep inside our chest. Stays there for a few moments. Just to hold this feeling of goodness, this feeling of goodwill, well-wishing, just in the center of our chest. Feeling of deep peace and contentment and gratitude. This starts to shrink further. Starts to shrink further. It goes deep and disappears into the center of our chest. Has disappeared. This is left behind, the trace of a peace and tranquility, freedom from anxieties and worries. We know it's still in the center of our chest. We know we can still activate it each and every time we turn our attention to this feeling of metta, of kindness and goodwill, well-wishing, of deep contentment and gratitude. So we linger a few moments just to savor the taste of metta, taste of peace, taste of goodwill and sharing. Questions or comments? Thanks for that. It's usually not a good metta meditation until someone snores, but no one snores this time. Okay, so maybe we will
offer five precepts.
Five precepts?
Because those will be only precepts.
Okay. And some people would like to offer take the five precepts as they leave the monastery as a formal kind of a ceremony. This is completely optional and not necessary, but if you feel like you need to take the five precepts and it's something to aspire to live by, yeah, my omens, you can always do that. And I was talking to a person who was thinking to become a formal Buddhist. My understanding is that I think in Waisak around May, generally that's a good time for new Buddhists to take the formal five precepts and the three refuges to become a Buddhist. Because the Waisak is a celebration of the Buddhist enlightenment. So usually it's a good occasion to take the precepts back then. But for the traditional Buddhist, yeah. You can take it with the monks or nuns or just in front of a shrine. It's more important the intention to keep them than obviously the ceremony themselves and the chanting bit. Yeah. But some people find that the ceremony will help kind of strengthen the determination to keep the precepts. Yeah. So, okay, here we go. Who wants to ask for them? Another? Yeah. Okay.
Yampi, Bambante, Israeli, Saha, Pantisila, Yakam,
I do the Namo Tassa first, and then everybody else follow afterward, after I do the three times. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa.
Okay, the first is the three refuges. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. For those who want to follow along, I forgot, there's a newbies here. It's on page 20. Sorry about that, I should have said it earlier. Page 20, for those who want to follow. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Te Saranang Gamanang Nithi Thang. Okay, here's the five precepts, right? Panati Pata Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. To make sure you understand what you're actually undertaking, right? You have to say, I undertake the precept to refrain from destroying living creatures. I undertake the precept from... Okay, so you understand, right? That's not killing creatures, yeah, okay. Second one is Adina Dhana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Okay, which translates to I undertake the precept to refrain from taking what is not given. Right? Okay, so the third one Kamesu Michachara Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Which means I undertake the precept to refrain from sexual misconduct. Fourth is Musawada Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from lying. Fifth one is Sura Meraya Macha Pamadatana Veramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. I undertake the precept to refrain from intoxicating liquors and drugs, which leads to carelessness. Imani Pacha Sikha Padani Silena Sugatinyanti Silena Boga Sampada Silena Nibbitinyanti Tasma Silang Visodaye. Okay, so remember, while the chanting is nice, it's the intention to keep them that is much more important, right? And as you know, you're not a Buddhist because you're Sri Lankan, or you do the ceremony, or because you're Thai, or whatever. You're a Buddhist because of what you do. And that is the intention of harmlessness, intention of to keep these precepts, to refrain from squatting the mosquitoes, even though they're really annoying. Jianan, you know, stomping on the cockroach that comes into your heart, right? So just keep that in mind. It's the gentleness. You'll see that as you keep, the longer you feel that, you feel a sense of peace and well-being and free from fear. You go into the forest, you can see, you know, you can meet face to face with a snake, and there's not really any fear because you haven't had this intention to hurt or harm beings around you. So that comes back to you in really wonderful ways. Yeah, if you want to be free from fear, offer harmlessness, offer fearlessness to others. Right? It's the basic law of karma. Whatever it is that you want, love, respect, kindness, give that away. Give that to others. Offer that to others. It'll come back to you in many, many fold, in ways that you cannot imagine, really. And that's the wonderful, you know, the fruits of the practice. And that's why it gives you faith and confidence that this path works in many levels. Yeah. So there you go. Wishing you much peace and happiness as you go forth in your practice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Okay. Do a final bow together. Finish things up.